Money, consumption, status, and power have long driven our culture's pulse. They've shaped our motivations, our behaviors, and our beliefs. But what happens when we give art the same influence? Writers, designers, musicians, photographers, videographers, and the world's most creative minds have the power to heal us, challenge us, and guide us back home to ourselves. In their hands and through their crafts, we find a new world, one where art is a catalyst for powerful change, where self-expression, human connection, and deep empathy are the world's richest assets. This is Art is the New Wall Street with your host, Morgan Short.
Hi, artists and creatives. Welcome back to Art is the New Wall Street. I am excited to welcome Daniel Gilbert to the show. He's affectionately known as Daniel the Violinist, and he studied viola performance at Millikan University and later at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, where he also graduated. Go Badgers. He has performed at the Twin Cities Film Festival, Bloomington Symphony Orchestra, and Minnesota Fashion Week, just to name a few. His sound fuses classical, soul, and hip-hop, and he can play by ear to customize performances for any event. Actually, he played at my best friend's wedding at the McNamara Alumni Center last fall. Shout out to Danny and Alex.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember that wedding?
Yeah, I remember playing the Lord of the Rings theme song when she walked down the aisle.
Yeah, it was amazing. She walked down the aisle to the Lord of the Rings theme song. Yep. Daniel, thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh, thank you for having me.
What's your favorite thing about being human?
Probably being able to express emotion.
Yes. What kind of emotions?
Hopefully not anger and madness, but I mean, I'm pretty easygoing and pretty happy with my music. Like, I always just try to make people smile, touch people's hearts, and you know, like I see people like dancing or kind of moving to whatever I'm playing. It's just like really cool to see that and see that they're feeling what I'm feeling.
What are you feeling when you're playing?
It depends on what I'm playing. Like, I mean, if I'm playing like a happier song, feeling like, you know, light and like, you know, dancey. But like when I play like more like serious, like, you know, classical style music, like I just like kind of put myself in the space of like whatever the artist was trying to say with the music.
When did you first pick up the violin?
I was 6 years old. I was very young. I started in kindergarten. Probably actually might have been a little bit before. But yeah, 30 years later, here I am.
Did you love it right away?
It was awful.
Was it the people around you encouraging you to continue?
No. So like my parents were really big on academics when we were kids. And they wanted us to have like a fallback just in case whatever we decided to pursue in life, you know, just to have that in our back pocket. So for us, me, my brother, my sister, that was music. And so my mom, she got me started in violin lessons when I was 6. And my brother kind of started violin a little bit later after me. But then I think he ended up switching to trumpet. And then my sister started with cello when she was young and then ended up switching to flute. So we always kind of had like music in our family to a certain point. And I'm just the one that ended up sticking with the violin throughout life.
Can you tell me more about your mom?
Yes, my mom, Linda Gilbert, she passed away 12 years ago from cancer. But she was a big supporter of my art and my music. And that's the reason why I love doing it so much. And she was really encouraging of my gift. And supportive, like she always came to my concerts and she'd always bring food for everybody in the studio and whatnot, or people that came to see me. Just me staying in my music is my way of honoring her. And it gives me like a lot of hope to know that I'm making her proud and that I did stay with it and that I was diligent and that I still love what I do. So
our moms, yeah. There are rocks. And she would be damn proud of you.
She'd be dancing.
Dancing, yeah. She's proud of her is dancing.
She taught me how to cook.
What's your favorite thing she used to cook for you?
Man, she was stir fried. Oh, I make her pasta salad that she used to make, the cold pasta salad. She taught me how to bake chicken. Like, I'll never mess that up again. Yeah, those are like three of my favorite things. I haven't learned pound cake, and that's probably something I want to learn because She always made that too. It brings me in college and school. I want to learn how to make that too.
And she kept you moving, huh? Through the music?
Yep.
You ever say that you wanted to stop?
I did for a while, but that was just because she had, it was around the time she had passed away.
Okay.
So it was just like a lot to deal with. And I think emotionally I wasn't there. And music and emotion go together. I just didn't feel anything because I was still like kind of numb from her passing. Mm-hmm. And so people here and there were kind of like, hey, are you still playing violin? Hey, you should get back into it. Hey, you should play violin. And like, it started to kind of eat at me that I wasn't doing it because I was like, what am I doing? And yeah, it, like one step at a time. It's like once you pick up the instrument and then just kind of start playing no matter what you're playing. It starts to come back to you. And then I kind of slowly started to like, oh, I should really be doing music. Cause it's like, I spent all these years in college and grad school playing and now I'm not doing it. It's like, what am I doing with my life? I practiced on my album from Visionary that I dedicated to her. That's named after her. It's called Linda's Melody.
That's so sweet. Do you feel her with you?
Sometimes it just depends on what I'm playing. If I'm playing something like really emotional and like I'm like thinking in my head, like about that time, then I do feel like I feel her like presence, I guess you could say.
Mm.
I more hear what I'm not playing because I always like, I feel like I'm doing something that I know I'm not supposed to be doing, like going out or something. I just hear my head like, Daniel, you know, you're supposed to be working on music.
Oh, wow. Well, that's so sweet that she motivated you and now you are dedicating so much of it to her and she keeps you going, and that you named part of your album after her, Linda's Melody.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Amazing.
That one's so deep because it's just violin by itself.
Ooh. And
doubled it. So it sounds like two people playing, but I'm playing both parts. And so I wrote it as like a conversation.
Ooh, cool.
I don't think I've ever performed it live. I probably won't, just because it's such a personal song. If people want to hear like what it feels like to have that conversation with someone, like a loved family member, and to like not have them around anymore, that's how I wrote.
Mm. So it's like a conversation with your mom.
Yes.
What would you say to her? She was here.
I would say, I hope I'm making you proud and I miss her and I'm doing my best, I guess.
I'm so sorry and I'm so grateful that you were willing to share that with us.
Thank you.
And I love your music. When I started this podcast, I thought about all the super cool creative people that I have met recently that I know in my life. And you came up in my brain because I remembered being so impressed by how you played the violin. And you know, you never know who is watching either. You never know who you might be impacting. Maybe they don't tell you, but maybe they were really, truly impacted by you and your music. Yep. And you don't even know it. But that's why we got to keep making art. That's why we got to never stop.
Yeah, you never know who's watching or listening. And so, like, when people, like, laugh at me because I'm always, like, in a suit or something when I'm performing, I'm like, because I don't know who's watching me. Like, I'm not going to go up in, like, baggy clothes or T-shirt or, like, a hoodie. Like, I'm not going to ever. You probably will never see me play like that, like, ever. Image is everything. And so I always tell people, like, you don't know who's watching. So sometimes you got to, like, take those free gigs and then just be, like, in your head, like, well, somebody's going to see me one day and then they're going to. Hey, I want you for this. I want you for this. Like, that's always my motivation.
I think the free stuff too, like, it's going to come back around for you.
And it has. A lot of the events I did this year were the people that I connected with at Twin Cities and people that I connected with at, like, the Hampton Theater events I've done. Like, and the other thing was, like, make sure you have cards. Because people always told me, like, no one uses cards. No one uses cards. But the first question people always ask me when I perform is like, do you have a card on you? Every single time. And I try to tell people, they're like, I'm not doing business, but they just throw them away. I'm like, well, you're just only cheating yourself out of opportunities because that's the best way people connect because not everyone has social media. And so for me, that's just, it's always extra revenue for me. That's what I always tell people, like cards, the website, flyers, social media, it's like, it can't hurt.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's like, it's not going to do anything bad for you if you have business cards and make that investment and hand them out like that. That's just more opportunity for you.
Totally. When you're trying to do your art full time, you got to think about the business side as well, for sure.
Something I had to learn.
How do you go about getting your gigs?
Right now, there's kind of two avenues for me. The last couple of years, I really honed in and focused on like building my social media platform with Instagram and Facebook and TikTok and YouTube. And then I joined the entertainment company Generation Now. It's coming on 2 years ago. So that was actually how I got hired to do Danny's wedding at the McNamara's. So my team with Gen Now, they do like the Timberwolves, the Wild, the Twins, the Gophers. And then they hire out different DJs in the city to do different events, weddings and whatnot. And so they brought me on a couple years ago as a live musician because I obviously don't DJ. And they were like, yeah, you'd be like a really great part for the team because we do a lot of these events where they want live musicians. And we've seen your like platform growing. So that's how they found me. I think they actually found me through Instagram.
What's the ultimate goal?
So right now I would love to go full time with music. It would be great to have two or three residencies weekly where I'm performing at the same couple spots a week around the city or wherever I'm at. And then I also love to write. So one of my goals is to eventually write for film or maybe compose music for a short film. It'd be great. I have two venues that I really want to perform at before I move or if I decide to move. And one's the Dakota Jazz Club. And I think the other one would be doing a halftime show for a Timberwolves game, I think.
Oh, my God. Well, yes. Look,
my reach of like what I do and like, yeah, I'm like, I got to get them.
You got to. Now you're putting it out in the world. And you talked about doing those before you move. Are you thinking of moving somewhere?
Well, I was, but I think just the trajectory of how my music career has taken off here, I'm kind of rethinking that. But I think it would be easier once I'm full-time in music to kind of decide what I want to do in that regard. For now, I'm happy.
Is there a situation where you would go full-time?
I think just having secure consistency with like how I'm paid for gigs and how many gigs I'm having per month, I think that would help that decision a little bit better.
Because
right now I've been focusing all my like service industry money, like my restaurant money into my business of music. And so I'm glad I could do that now because before it was just like, oh, I got to pay all these bills. And now I'm like, well, I'm doing that, but then I can funnel the extra money into like equipment and instruments and repair, like all that kind of stuff.
You know, I have a 9-to-5 and I also love poetry and art and I'm making this podcast and I have a little post-it note on my desk that says, fund the dream. It helps me remember to be grateful to that job. Do you get stressed out about like needing to kind of like fund the dream?
I don't want to say stress, but I think I just learn how to focus my intentions better and like learn how to say no.
Yeah.
Like when you're working, especially when you're working in the service industry, there's this like tendency to always want to be out and happy hour and drinking and I'm just like, I don't have time for that. Like, I just, like, I will go out and enjoy myself here and there. But, like, now I'm just so focused on my craft.
What is your most requested song at a wedding?
I would say probably for weddings, it's probably going to be Can't Help Falling in Love by Elvis. I get No One, Alicia Keys, a lot. I get All of Me, John Legend, a lot. That's one I like to do a lot. And Perfect, Ed Sheeran. What's another one? I have a whole list, actually. Give me 1 second here. Jonesy's. Oh yeah, Fast Car. That's a good one. I've done Halo by Beyonce. Nice. Golden Hour by Jake. Shallow by Lady Gaga and Bradley Cooper. Cut in like.
If you were being introduced, what would your walk-up song be?
Us Going Bad by Drake. That's wrong right there. That beat is cold. You can't listen to it and not feel good. Going bad. That's why I did that. I'm not trying to be bad. It happens.
Nice. I like it. I like it. How have you mastered your own style in your music?
Influences, like for me, they've really helped, like movie soundtracks. And that's always kind of been like something that drew me into music to begin with. But like more recently when I started getting into like writing my own music, like music by like Hans Zimmer, who's one of my favorite movie composers. He's done like the Dark Knight movies, Gladiator, Pirates of the Caribbean, just to name a few. And just like listening to how he like develops like musical tracks that really play a lot into the music that I write. And like, even like just recently seeing Black Violin at the State Theater, which is one of my favorite hip hop violin duo. They're like super dope. I'm just like seeing how they do crowd work and how they work the stage and like how they fuse the classical with the hip hop. That was like a big influence for me. So a lot of that I like try to tie into, like how I structure like the music that I write, like how I write beats and stuff.
What's the writing process like?
This is interesting because, so my first album that I put out, Visionary, a couple of years ago, it was like right after COVID, we had started kind of reopening back up. I wrote that more as a cinematic, like I wanted it to be like you were watching a movie, but without the video. Like when you're listening to it, I want you to feel like you're like listening to a movie. A lot of that I wrote like the violin parts first, or like the piano parts like first, and then I kind of developed like the background music around it. It really depends. Like sometimes I'll hear like the violin part first in my head and I record it so I don't forget it, or I'll hear the beat first and I play around and write the beat first, and then I go back and I'm like, okay, now I think I can add some melody over this. So it just like really depends, especially with the style of the track that I'm writing, whether it's like hip hop or jazz or like classical fusion or like an orchestral soundtrack style track. With my new album I'm working on, it's called String Poetry. So I'm kind of writing it as a style of like spoken word poetry, but I want it to feel a little bit more of like a song than like a soundtrack, if that makes sense. I call my last album The Music You Can Study To. I'm calling this album The Music You Can Work Out To.
Okay. I like that.
A lot more like bass heavy. So it's going to be definitely a lot more like trap bass beat heavy than other songs were.
Wow. Do you play and write every day?
Yeah, I try to. I do a lot of it in the morning just because I don't work mornings. So it's easy for me to just like really get up in the morning, just straight focus into the music. Because if I come home from work, I tend to be too tired to like put myself in that mindset again of like where I was when I was writing. So it's just easier if I could just do it right when I wake up.
Do you ever get stuck?
Yep. I've been working on this new album for almost 2 years now, and I still haven't recorded a main violin part on any of the tracks yet. And I have like almost 12 tracks so far.
Why do you think that is?
Because I get stressed. I'm the person where I'll record and then I'll record over that and then I'll record over that like a million times. Like literally when I wrote like Visionary, like my last album, I was like, I probably recorded each violin part for each song probably like more than 100 times before I finally decided that was what it was going to be. I stress myself out more than I should, but like I said, it just really depends. Like sometimes I'll just immediately know what melody I want in there and I can just record it in one take and then just let it sit. A lot of the music I'm writing right now, I try not to work on the same track every day. because that it gets kind of stagnant. So I'll like come back to a lot of the music that I write, you know, a couple weeks later, and I'm like, oh, I heard something different. Or like when I was talking about like liking Hans Zimmer or Black Violin, like I'll go back and listen to one of those tracks and be like, oh, that's interesting what they did there. And then I'll think of a way to tie it into what I'm writing.
You think you're getting stuck on that part because you are so well trained and practiced in the violin, and so then you're like, it's perfectionism?
Yep. I can always tell when I'm out of tune. Like, I always know. And so when I'm like listening back to like a recording or something I record, I'm like, oh, I gotta do that again. And then I gotta remember, like, because honestly, I don't cheat music, write any of my music. I memorize all of it as I record it. So I never like handwrite it out. So if somebody's gonna play any of my tracks, they're gonna have to learn the audio because I didn't write it out.
Okay. So when you put your own music out, have you ever had somebody try to cover it?
Not that they've told me, but I'm sure they have. I've had people like write like dance routines to my music.
Oh, cool. Cool.
Which is really cool. And then they sent it to me and they're like, oh, here's what I did with your song. And I was like, oh, I never intended for to be that style track, but it was like really cool seeing like ballroom dancing to like one of my original songs.
Yeah, that would be cool. That'd be super cool.
That's why I write, because I want people to like interpret my music in their own way and like find some way to apply it to their life. Even on a more serious note, like my brother-in-law, he lives in Milwaukee, but he works in mental health, and he's also a musician like me. And who he's working with was like in suicide prevention, mm-hmm. like a very serious mental health issue for him. And I guess he played one of my tracks that I wrote for him in one of their sessions, and like the guy started crying. And it was my song called Ancestors Guide Us, because I was writing kind of like, I always had this like vision and goal to like write for anime. I always thought that'd be cool.
Cool, yeah.
Well, I started this other project I'm working on called The Samurai. I was writing like this, I think I was watching Mulan or something. I was like, oh yeah, like the ancestors like come and speak to like the current family that's living. And so like when I was writing the track, the way I wrote the violin part is I wanted it to sound like the ancestors were like speaking to the character at that time and like trying to guide him or her down the right path. And so my brother-in-law was using that track in the session, and the guy was crying, and he was like, I felt like someone was speaking to me, telling me like, I'm going to be all right, and that I don't need to take my life. And yeah, my brother-in-law called me and told me that. And I was like, that's like so deep. But then I thought about like, that's why I write music, because that's what I want to like, that's how I want to touch people with my art. Like, I want them to feel like that deeply, that, you know.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Wow. Yeah. The way that art can affect us in that way is pretty profound, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And what do you think? What do you think now that somebody has had that kind of experience from your music?
I think for me, it's more validation, because like when I first started coming out with my music, I was writing, a lot of people were like, well, no one knows who you are, so they're not going to listen to your music because you're not covering music they know. You're writing original music. And so I was, a lot of like artist friends that I had in the cities, like, I don't know if it was like they meant to discourage me, but that's how I kind of took it, where I was like, well, I always know I want to write, and so I'm going to write. And so I stuck with it. I was like, no, I'm meant to write. I'm not meant to always cover other people's art. Like, I have my own voice. I have my own art that needs to be heard. And so I just stuck with it. But a lot of people were like, oh, like, you're not doing like Bieber or Lindsey Sterling or like, I don't know, Taylor Swift, like, you're not playing covers of their music, so you like, you won't go viral, and you won't, like, people won't discover you. You'll just kind of be just this guy that's trying, I don't know. And I just eventually I tuned it out, and that's what I've been doing. I'm like, no, I know exactly what I want to do with my music. And so I haven't really strayed from that path. since making that realization.
You're talking about something that I think a lot of artists and creatives experience and struggle with, which is the feedback that you get. I think knowing your why, knowing I have something to say through my art, is powerful and it's going to keep you going. So you're getting all these opinions from people that are saying you're not going to catch on if you don't do covers. And you had to say to that, I want to keep writing. I want to keep making my art because I have something to say to the world.
Yep.
How do you tune that out? How do you stay focused? How do you remember your why?
I think there's a validation in the people that still support you and don't say that to you, because that means that your music, you know, had some effect on someone. Because like, even when I played original music, people are like, oh, like, whose song is that? I'm like, that's my song. Oh, that's so cool. I never knew you wrote. They're so used to me playing covers. I was like, no, I do. And so like, I don't know, like for me, it's just, I like the challenge of it. And like, even when, like with covers, it's not as challenging because that song's kind of already, everyone knows that song. So there's only so much I can really do with a cover melody as opposed to when I'm writing my own music. And so I like the challenge of original creativeness, and I just tuned it out. I was just like, I'll take it as a grain of salt. I was like, I appreciate your feedback telling me like you should do more covers because that's what people really want to hear. And then I know that people actually love hearing my original music too.
Yeah.
You can still communicate in silence rather than like always having something to say.
Mm.
And I took it like when I could see people like filling music, but they don't say anything. If it's original, then I know I'm affecting them in some way. That was like the validation for me.
So you write and play pretty much every day. So what's your routine like that allows the structure to make sure you're hitting that and staying consistent each day?
I try to wake up, get up by like 9. I always like do a little reading in the morning and then I work out. Then once I'm done with that, then I can like get into the music right away. And so I just forced myself to do it. I mean, I think COVID really helped in a way because I wasn't performing and I wasn't working in the restaurant. So I was like, what else was I really going to do? And so that's when I hunkered down and was like, well, what do I really want to do with my music career? Because I knew like orchestra might not be it for me. Like just playing a professional orchestra, that world is just so competitive and it was discouraging. Because it's like you're relying on so many people to like tell you, to like validate how good you are to be in an orchestra and get paid for that. And I was like, no, I have my own voice. And like when you're in an orchestra, everyone's playing the same thing. And so your own individual artistic voice gets lost in that. Mm-hmm. And so I just like stayed true to that. And I was like, no, I want to like get my music. I want to voice like what I'm feeling into music and let other people hear that. And so that's just like the motivation for me to continually be consistent about writing.
How do you see music impacting the community?
You know, I think like being like going to like a lot of music networking events I've been going to, I realize there's a lot of artists here that are hungry to have their craft matter. And I've talked to people that like were discouraged, and I've talked to people that are like killing it right now. And I'm like, so there's like a good variety. And I think if we just all come together and put egos aside, I think like the artist scene in Minnesota can like really blow up here. Mm-hmm. And like out of like a lot of these restaurants and venues opening, they're adding live music nights to give more people opportunities to share their craft. And so I think that'll like really help.
Do you think that there's room for ego in art?
Yes. But ego in the sense of like being prideful about your craft, not letting pride rule it.
Mm-hmm.
Like feeling like I'm not going to express my art unless someone's paying me to do it. Because I've seen that a lot. And you can tell those people aren't successful and they're not happy because they're constantly thinking about, well, I don't want to do this if I'm not going to get paid. Well, if I'm investing my time in it, not paying me like what I think I'm worth, it's not worth it for me. And I always tell them, even the first year, 2 years ago, I was really getting my name out there. I did a lot of events for free. And for me, that was just, I just looked at it as free networking and building those relationships and connections. And the one thing I always tell people is don't burn bridges if you don't have to. And if you do feel like you need to walk away, do it gracefully and not spitefully. A lot of people do this, because social media is it's big. It's good for a lot of people, but it's bad for a lot of people. It depends on how you want to use it. And I've seen a lot of social media posts from artists where they're blasting venues or people they've worked with for just not treating them right. Remember what you're doing your art for, because money's temporary, while how emotion or how you make someone feel or how you reach people, that could carry you a long way.
Yes. How would you define art?
Expressing what's in your soul. That's probably the simplest way to say that.
And who is an artist?
I think anybody willing to express an emotion through something, words or music or painting or something, that's what makes them an artist. And then just having the confidence to show that to other people, I think that's what an artist is.
So an artist is somebody who's willing to express a part of themselves.
Mm-hmm.
What advice would you give to young 6-year-old Daniel who just picked up the violin?
I would say be grateful you had parents that I won't say made that decision for you because they did, but I'm glad that they did because it allowed me a venue to express my emotion in another way. I would also say be grateful for music theory. I'm that was the one thing I hated when I was growing up. And I didn't realize until I got older, how much that actually helped my understanding of music and how to write. And now I can just hear it. So even when I'm playing with bands or whatnot, I'm just glad I took music theory so I can know what keys were. And I can switch on the dime and I can do almost any genre of music just because I just know theory and how it works and how music works. But especially with little kids, I think having teachers that nurture music that they're interested in rather than giving them music hey, you need to learn this, oh, what do you want to learn, and then finding some type of compromise while you're still teaching them and then allowing them to play music that they want, because that will make them want to play and practice so much more if they're playing music that they actually want to play rather than music that you're being forced to play. That is one thing I've seen.
But music theory was something that you didn't want to do. And
oh my God, it's not boring, but it's mathematical. It's something that it can easily stress you out. But once you know it, it makes music so much easier to understand. And people always tell me you can play any genre, or I can play you in any group because we know you have an ear for it. And I'm like, well, that's because I think it's because I took the music theory classes. And so I'm always so glad. I'm like, the one thing I hated when I was growing up, but I'm glad I did.
Right.
And I have a new friend here.
Who's your friend? Oh, he's got his violin.
That's going to be his name. This is going to be a luck throw.
Do you have a name for your violin?
No, but I think I'll name him Electro. Because it's black. Why not? And that's one of my favorite Marvel characters. No, I'm going to name it something eventually. We're still thinking to each other.
I love it. Oh, is Electro new?
Yeah, I've only had it since I got it in the end of June. Now that I think about it, I think that's when I got my Electro.
All right, Daniel has agreed to play some music for you all. He's got Electro in hand. We're going to give you some music. Wow. That is gorgeous. Anything else you want to share with the audience?
Just stay true to yourself. Don't let people tell you what your art should be. And just feel comfortable to express whatever that your art is, or you're painting, a musician or spoken word poetry, you're writing books or whatever. Just like, don't be afraid to express your art and what you feel and tell your story. And like I said, you never know who's listening or watching. So opportunities are there for you if you want.
Your story deserves to be told. Where can our listeners find you?
You can find my music on Apple, Spotify, Pandora, Amazon, YouTube, pretty much any streaming service under Daniel the Violinist. Super easy to find.
Do you have any shows coming up or any places that anyone in the Twin Cities specifically can come check you out?
I'm playing for the Make-A-Wish Foundation. They have a big ball that they're doing at the Mystic Lake Center, so I'll be performing for that. And then I believe I'm also playing at the Science Museum's fundraiser in April as well. We'll have my next two big things coming up.
If somebody wants to reach out for a private event, should they reach out to you?
Yeah, you can go to danieltheviolinist.com. That's my website. And then I have an inquiry section on there where you can either email me, call me, Instagram or Facebook message me. And then I also have a photo library on there, so you can see all the types of events I do. And there's at least 6 or 7 videos of different events that I played on there. So you can check out and see me playing different styles of music at different events.
Yay. Daniel, thank you so much for joining us on Artist New Wall Street, coming on the show. To all of our listeners out there, huge thanks for tuning in and hanging out with me and Daniel today. Keep creating. Your art is a gift to you and the world. We'll see you next time. Thank you for tuning in to this week's episode of Art is the New Wall Street. If you liked what you heard today, give our show a follow or subscribe wherever you listen to your podcasts. You can find us on social media or at artisthenewwallstreet.com. Keep creating, and we'll see you next time.